south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, I've said enough about Mexico. I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore. You know my feelings about the place. Been there myself many times, and there are some nice little cities in the Altiplano that I once did recommend and liked a lot. They're mostly loaded with gringos now, and some places in the Yucatan that are not only just acceptable for gringos, but quite nice. But even those options are narrowing fast. In fact, at my most recent Expat Insider seminar, a guy came up to me and said, Johnny, you know, I like Mexico. People say it's so dangerous, but I've only been robbed once. It was my stupid fault for having my wallet in my back pocket. Hanging halfway out, you know, stupid. Why do they even put pockets on the back of trousers, he said. Should have had a chain attached from my wallet to my belt like the bikers, he said. I said, yeah, guys, like the back pocket wallet thing. But wallet in the front pocket? That's really safe. Then I gave him a queer look and said, you been in Mexico how many years and never got extorted by a cop? Then he wrinkled his brow and scrunched his face. Well, he said, does that count? I mean, that's not an actual physical assault. I said, all right, I'll give you a pass on that one. Then he said, oh, and I got scammed by a realtor. Then he said it was a gringo realtor, too. No surprise to me. By the way, when he said he was robbed because he had his wallet in his back pocket, man, I see that all the time, not so much with gringos anymore, but Latins, they're obsessed with putting their wallets in their back pockets. Is that not asking to be robbed? In fact, just the other day, I was sitting in a restaurant, and I pointed out to a couple of people I was with, not one, but two Latin macho guys with their fat wallets peeking out of their back pockets. You know, I asked my maintenance guy about that. He puts his in his back pocket, too. He said, only huecos put their wallets in their front pockets. Meaning, putting your wallet in your front pocket was kind of gay. That's how macho this society is here. So anyway, this seminar attendee said, Johnny, if you had to live in Mexico, where would you live? And I instantly said, in the Yucatan, just a little bit south of Tulum. And Tulum is about a half hour south of Playa del Carmen, which is about an hour south of Cancun. Nope, I wouldn't want to live within an hour's drive of a big tourist area. Though you longtime listeners know, I do not like living on the coast where it's very hot all year round. I don't care how much money you have, how big your pool, and how low you've got your air conditioning set, or how many coconut umbrella drinks you can put away in one session. As for me, I'm the kind of guy who gets bored very easily, and sitting in a hammock sucking down drinks all day, that's not my style. No matter how great the beach and how fantastic the sunset. Who was it that said the world's second worst crime is boredom, and the worst crime? Being a bore yourself. Yep, I've found beach towns are just full of boring gringos. Boring. That is, after you meet them and you've been to a few of their barbecues and beach parties, they tend to play themselves, their stories, and their jokes out after a few visits. In fact, when I was living the beach life, I can remember many times trying to invent kind and believable excuses so I didn't have to go to another boring get-together or party. Call me judgmental, call me a dick, call me a snob. I bet some of you have been there. Anyway, as you longtime listeners know, I really dig the Altiplano, which makes up maybe only 2% of Latin America and not found in every country either. And yes, Mexico has some Altiplano regions. And about that question, where would I live if I had to live in Mexico? I'd certainly head down to the Yucatan beach areas once in a while. Everybody needs a nice peaceful vacation a couple times a year, right? But my pick? San Miguel de Allende. That's right smack in the middle of Mexico. Just grab a map, have a look, and you'll see. It's an Altiplano region. Perfect springtime weather all year round, as is the hallmark of Altiplano regions. Sometimes they even get a little bit too cool at night, some gringos say. So there you have it. That'd be my choice, San Miguel de Allende. And for the occasional beachfront vacation and just hanging out, the more quiet and laid-back beaches of the Yucatan, south of Tulum. And as far as San Miguel de Allende, a colonial town, great weather, low crime, but way too many gringos now. It's a medium-sized town with about 200,000 people, but like I said, way too many gringos now. In fact, saw some statistics just recently. It's now got about 20,000 gringo and expat permanent residents, which means just that town has more permanent gringo expats, etc., than the entire gringo expat population of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador combined. For me, way too many gringos and why prices are on the rise. However, it's worth a look and a visit if you're really thinking about Mexico, especially if your Spanish sucks and you think you really need to be around gringos or have a permanent gringo fix. By the way, it's around 400 miles away from the nearest beach. So it's not like so many of the cool Altiplano cities and regions in the rest of Central America, where you can generally hit the Atlantic or Pacific coast beachlands within a 1 or 2 hour drive. So if you live in San Miguel de Allende and you like the beach vacation stuff once in a while, like I do, you're either going to need to have a nice big pool, then you can pretend, or head to the beach, which will be a two-day car trip for sure. Something not recommended. That is, driving from city to city through the countryside any place in Mexico. Which reminds me, just checking out Mexico City's biggest newspaper the other day, there was an article in Spanish, of course, that said, and I'll paraphrase this, when stopped by Mexican cops, inevitably, you'll be hit up for a bribe. Of course, they pick on tourist buses, tourists in rental cars, and people driving through with U.S. or other Latin country license plates. Those are prime targets. And here's something new in the cop bribery slash extortion racket. Cops will immediately do the conversion, whether you've got Mexican pesos, U.S. or Canadian dollars, or even euros. Well, how convenient. Now you can pay your bribes in four different currencies. Somehow, I don't think the Mexican cops can do the math in their head. They've probably got an app for it. Pretty soon, they'll be taking Bitcoin, huh? Oh, and that article was doing a comparison of different cops throughout Latin American regions, and they said that these days, get this, the Venezuelan economy is so destroyed that the cops there are asking for bribes only in U.S. dollars, euros, or Colombian pesos. They're not even taking their own currency for bribes. So there you have it. Bribes are at an all-time high and patriotism an all-time low. Anyway, this article by the Mexican Social Studies and Public Opinion Center that's called Centro de Estudios Sociales de Opinión Pública, here they published a survey in which over 10,000 Mexicans rated their own government institutions on a 0 to 100% scale. And to summarize this, because it's a long article, it says, about 60% of those who surveyed thought that corruption is the number one problem affecting both the police and all government bodies. And 66% of those in the survey said there was little or no chance of ending the endemic corruption in Mexico. And then it says over half of the Mexican people in the survey approved of Mexican citizens forming their own neighborhood armed self-defense groups, underlying that Mexican authorities, and particularly the local police, suffer from a severe lack of public trust. This erosion of confidence, it says, has been exacerbated by extreme cases of police collusion with organized crime and widespread government incompetence. Another result of official abuses and public distrust of security institutions is, as this survey shows, heightened support for civilians taking security matters into their own hands as Mexico's organized crime landscape descends into chaos. Meanwhile, homicide rates spiral out of control. Yep, I want to live in Mexico, don't you? Don't get me wrong, there are some very nice gringoized areas of isolation that are truly what some first world Americans would think are tropical paradises. Meanwhile, comes this article from the same newspaper, and I'll translate. It says, Mexico's largest convenience store chain has been forced to close many of its stores amid growing insecurity and violence, a reflection of economic impacts of the increasing violence gripping the country, says the article. The store OXXO, been there many times, OXXO, Mexico's largest convenience store chain with over 15,000 locations across Latin America, announced the company was forced to close all of its stores in certain cities, for example, the city of Apatazang in the western state of Michoacán, due, it says, to growing insecurity on the store's grounds, premises, and parking lots, where violent incidents have been taking place with more and more frequency. Then it says, after many spates of violence, the latest one being on June 30th, when two of the chain stores were burned to the ground. Two more OXXO stores were burned down in broad daylight on July 1st. Meanwhile, violent incidents continue to occur, many in most recent days. For example, armed individuals aboard motorcycles burned one OXO store's products before moving on to another one of the chain stores nearby, throwing Molotov cocktails at the stores, causing major damages to store entrances. Yep, I want to live in Mexico, don't you? But that's not all. How about this? According to the Mexican news source El Proceso, it's estimated that the extortion of agricultural producers at the hands of organized crime groups in Mexico has caused the prices of all staple foods grown in Mexico to increase by 25% since 2013. And in the cities of Guadalajara, Monterrey, and others, the cost, for example, of limes, called limones, jumped from 8 pesos to 40 pesos, from 40 cents to more than $2, due simply to neighborhood gang extortions. Yep, I want to live in Mexico. Don't you? By the way, just to set the record straight, there's tons of crime in all big Latin cities. And I never recommend gringos or expats to live in a big Latin city. I don't think it's a good idea. I wouldn't. Though I have and I've always felt safe. But remember, if you're in any medium or large-sized cities, you're always a chicken bus ride away from a ghetto. What they call a favela or asentamiento here in Latin America. So if you're in a decent-sized city, even if you're in the best, most high-end, gated, guarded community or subdivision, you're always close to a scummy, scruffy ghetto. Of course, those are breeding grounds for gangs and crime. So as a rule of thumb, I always tell gringos, if you're going to live in a medium or large-sized city, make sure you're at least 2 chicken bus transfers away from the nearest ghetto, favela or asentamiento. Because you see, there's one great big difference between the gangs up in the big cities where you live up in the States versus the gangs, bad guys, and no good nicks down here in Latin America. Care to guess? I probably told you this already. Well, it's the fact that up in the States, everybody's got a car. Every gangbanger and every bad guy up there has wheels. Down here in Latin America, almost none of the gangbangers and bad guys have a vehicle. Though some of them have rice-burning, junk, very small CC displacement motorcycles. As a result, a lot of cell phone thefts are perpetrated by 2 bad guys on a crappy motorcycle. Meanwhile, the other 95% or so of gangbangers and such get around by public transportation and chicken bus. Which is why, like I said, you don't want to be any closer than 2 chicken bus transfers from the nearest ghetto. So there you have it. Whereas every bad guy up in the States has wheels, down here they don't. So, think about it. When the feces hits the ventilator by you up in Cleveland or Chicago, wherever, when the chaos spreads, the bad guys are going to get in their cars and come to your neighborhood. Unless, like I said, you live a gas tank away. That's a couple hundred miles, you know? But down here, when the dominoes tumble and chaos arrives, by the way, when that happens, the chaos down here will in no way be near as bad as what it's going to be like for you, where you know what they say, you're 9 meals from anarchy just based on your food delivery system. That said, you longtime listeners know the living plans I recommend for expats and gringos here in Latin America. Live out in the boonies in a nice homestead or small town, 5, 10, 20, 50,000 people. Oh, and south of the border, that means south of the Mexican border, the cops are quite different than they are in Mexico. Oh, sure, the cops down here are pus-brained, lazy-ass, good-for-nothings, but they're not professional extortionists looking for a bribe at every turn. Not to mention in smaller towns, when you call the cops, they might not show up for 2 or 3 hours or maybe not at all. Which is why in those smaller towns, the locals are self-policing. And the bad boys in those little towns always seem to make their way to the big city because, well, for one thing, they don't want to be whipped by their dads in the town square. That does happen sometimes. And there's so much more action in the big city where there's a lot of like-minded guys with tattoos on their necks. Of course, no offense to any of you listeners who, drunk or sober, may have illustrated yourself in that way. But, you know, looking at tattoos purely pragmatically now, depending on placement and theme, they do tend to severely limit your job opportunities, unless you're the boss or you plan on being the boss. And, you know, not to harp on the ink and tattoo thing too much, I have to say that lots of girls down here in Latin America are getting them, which is strange, since historically what was the purview of bad girls, you know, gang girls and such, now even the nice girls are getting them. They think they're cute, you know. In fact, at my various expat seminars, I've hired at least 3 nice young translator ladies, college-age girls, who came to the interview with ink showing. And you know that old saying, where there's ink, there's piercings. Well, it may not be an old saying. I think I made it up, but it's true nonetheless. Anyway, I remember one young lady I interviewed had a big one crawling up her neck. God knows where else. And another young lady had New Age symbols starting at her wrists and ending, well, I guess you'd have to ask her boyfriend. So there we were, doing the interview in the coffee shop, and soon enough she noticed I was staring at the odd-looking tat, a little splash of color poking out at the wrist from under those long sleeves. Well, she saw I was staring just a little too long and said defensively, "Don't worry about these, I'll wear clothes that'll cover them." That's when I gave her my standard line, "You know, that really does limit your job opportunities in the marketplace, you know." She said, "Yeah, I know." And I said, "Well, why do you do it then?" She says, "Well, it's art." Then I said, "Could be, but it's forever. A lot of people have art hanging in their living rooms and such. But eventually, you know, they change it a bit because they get kind of bored. Same old thing, you know." She just kind of sat back and looked at me. Then I said, "Plan on getting any more?" And she said, "Yeah, I think so." In fact, she said, "There's an ink convention coming through Latin America, and she's going to check it out." I said, "Oh, really?" And she said, "Yeah, it's going to be at one of the first world hotels, too." Then I said, nonchalantly, so they're having a convention of unemployables right here in the city, huh?" I was just baiting her, pushing her a little bit, see how well she'd react to a little bit of antagonism. I hired her in the end because she was nice and had a lot to offer. But that tattoo thing, I still don't get it. So am I just an old conservative fogey? I think not. Since I read in a medical journal not so long ago, after you get a tattoo, your white blood cell count goes up ever so slightly and remains that way, which means your body's viewing the ink as kind of an irritant, sort of a persistent, very low-grade infection. Now, isn't that a good enough reason not to put yourself through that? Come on. Do you need to put any more load on your immune system? What with fluoride, vaccinations, GMOs, cell phone radiations, etc., etc.? Oh, well, guess I'll never get it. Maybe it's me. In my day, you know, to be seen, our art was having our hair awful long. And when we realized it was not cool at job interviews and couldn't tuck it under our hats, we cut it. Unless, of course, we were the boss. So our tat's art is rap music? Now, there's an oxymoron, rap music. Okay, so that's today's raging rant. I'll get off it now. Oh yeah, we're talking about places I don't recommend gringos live, work, play, and or do business. That would be medium and large-sized Latin cities. However, in my opinion, some of the best, nicest, most safe, and inexpensive places for gringos to live, work, play, and or retire here in Latin America just happen to be right outside some of those big, dirty, disgusting Latin American cities. Again, following my unwritten rule, at least 2 chicken bus transfers from any favela, ghetto, or asentamiento area. In fact, I can name many, many areas and districts that I consider just perfect for expat gringos, whether you speak Spanish or not, and they're all at least 10 miles outside medium and large Latin cities. That means anytime you want a big city fix, just get in your car, drive a half hour, 45 minutes, and you're there. Yep, if you plan your move that way, you won't want for anything, including first world entertainment, classical and cultural stuff, Broadway shows, current pop stars, famous first world lecturers and speakers, and all the rusty old dinosaur first world rock bands you care to see. Yep, somebody's always on a big tour swinging through those big Latin American cities. In fact, I understand McCartney's on a tour and he's coming to selected, congested, chaotic Latin American cities near you. In fact, I just pulled up Total Ticket, which is the Latin American version of Ticketron. I'm looking at Medellin, Colombia. He's playing there in October, on the 24th. Oh, and guess what? There are a couple of blog sites going and people are pissed off at the price of his tickets. Ouch. The block of seats up front are $500. And the VIP seats, that would be the first couple of rows, $1,500 a piece. But you know, a lot of gringo wannabes and drug money in Medellin, so I'm sure they'll sell out. Oh, and there's more on the TotoTicket.com site. All right, I also see Maroon 5 is coming through. Don't even know who the hell they are, but everybody seems to be talking about it. There's a Guns N' Roses tribute band coming in from the U.S. called No Guns, More Roses. Ugh, sounds kind of like a bunch of wimps. How about More Guns and No Roses? Hey, just a thought. You think their Axl Rose clone is obese, like the real thing? And U2's on a Latin tour? Maybe I'll run into Bono. Then I can do what I always wanted to do. Punch him in the face. Oh, and there's a U.S. Pink Floyd tribute band coming through right now, too. And for you classical and elevator music fans, Richard Clydeman's coming through. You know who he is, right? He's sold more than 150 million albums, and at any given time, there's someone somewhere having a root canal listening to him right now. Oh, and get this, on July 29th, it's International Beatles Day in Latin America. For starters, in Guatemala City, there'll be a Battle of the Beatles Bands. Yep, they've got 10 Beatles cover bands in Guatemala City alone. And I bet every last one of them are still living at home with mom. Oh, and here's a revival of a Broadway play. You remember that musical, Chicago? Well, it's touring the big cities of Latin America, translated into Spanish, of course, as well as a play called, get this, Schindler's List. Yes, coming direct from the States, too. By the way, some time ago, I saw a poster at a Latin airport for Schindler's List, and as they do misspell English words sometimes, it said, get this, Schindler's Lust. Now, that sounds like a very irreverent porn title. Anyway, that's just a tiny taste of some of the live acts that are touring through Latin America right now. Just, by the way, go to www.todoticket.com, T-O-D-O-T-I-C-K-E-T.com, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about and much more. By the way, just another sign that I'm out of touch with the music scene. Either I'm really losing it, or it's true that popular music written and performed beyond around 1990 really does suck. Or put this way, why do 21st century so-called music icons have no lasting impact? You tell me. I'm looking at this list of all the first world, I guess, rock groups that are coming through, and I don't even recognize half of them. But they must be big time up in the States. They're playing huge venues down here and getting some big money. So anyway, the point of this babbling rant is just to say, if you live close to a medium or large-sized Latin city, you'll never want for a live, top-notch gringo entertainment fix either. So again, I don't recommend you live in a large or medium Latin American city. By the way, if you live in a big city up in the States, what's your escape plan? When chaos hits, how close to you are those really bad neighborhoods? Everybody's going to be running for the exits at the same time, right? Okay, but what if you are a big city person and you really want to live in a big city? That's the kind of life you like. Well, if you do, you better get boots on the ground, make a lot of inquiries, talk to the locals, read the papers, check the 6 o'clock newscast to see where the good, the bad, and the ugly spots are. Oh, and by the way, when people come down to my Expat Insider seminar, we started out in Guatemala City, considered a pretty dangerous place by some. Well, it is, and it isn't. Which is why when I send attendees my information packages, I have a map of Guatemala City and a list of all the 25 zones, pointing out the good, the bad, and the ugly zones, places you don't want to hang, places you can walk through day and night, places you can hang out just in the day and they're not so safe at night, etc. You know, there are some very high-end, excellent first-world places in Guatemala City, but you'll never read about or hear about that stuff up in the first-world media. I mean, look, it's the biggest city in Central America. There are lots of wealthy people and businesses of all kinds. And where do you think the wealthy owners of those businesses live? In Guatemala City, of course, and they've got beautiful, safe, clean, gated, guarded residential towers and totally first-world subdivisions. However, like practically every other big Latin American city, I still don't recommend those places for gringos and expats. Why? Again, because they're just a chicken bus ride from the nearest ghetto. But like I said, some gringos and expats end up living in the city. In fact, one clueless guy came to my seminar some years ago now, actually a Latin guy born in Guatemala, came to the States illegally with his mother when he was just a little kid. Listened to my show, came down, told me he never quite fit in up in the States. You know, he is very Latin looking. Well, he stayed on after the seminar, but what he didn't tell me or anyone was that he'd inherited some land in Guatemala City. Get this. In one of the worst, most dangerous areas, too. Yep, listed as a definite red zone on the map I hand out and the list of zones to avoid, but he took that land, made a business there, and then started whining about how he was being extorted by the locals. Man, all I gotta say is there's got to be a stronger word than clueless for guys like that. So yes, if you live in those red zones and crap areas, you're gonna have trouble. And if you have a business, you might get extorted. Then there's some very nice zones and districts in every Latin city where if you had a business, you would never, ever get extorted. Oh, and remember, I always say, don't ride the chicken buses, no matter how quaint and cute they look and what you've read about them. Why? A lot of reasons, but I'll tell you a little story. I interviewed another lady, a bilingual translator/assistant. Very nice, sweet girl, a lot of knowledge, Problem? No car. And of course, in the interview, it comes up, where do you live? She told me she lives in Zone 1 in Guatemala City. By the way, that's a zone that's pretty safe all day long. All day long. At night, forget about it. That's when the creatures come out, you know? Anyway, she said all her life she lived in Zone 1. I said, Zone 1? How many times have you been robbed? She thought a second and said, 11. I said, what'd they take and where were you? Now, being that I've been here in Latin America 27 years, I knew the answer already, but I wanted to hear her say it. She said, I had a cell phone stolen 11 different times, either in a chicken bus or standing at a bus stop waiting for a chicken bus. And I said, why in the hell don't you move out of Zone 1? If you're going to live in Guatemala City, there's at least 10 good zones you could choose from. The rent would be pretty much the same, very cheap. There are many cleaner areas, less congested, much less pollution from chicken buses and such, a lot quieter and calmer in general. And she gave me that look they all give me when I mention, why do you live in such a crappy zone, no matter what that zone is. She says, oh, well, my family home is in Zone 1. I was born in Zone 1. I went to school in Zone 1. My friends and family are in Zone 1. And I said, yeah, and you've been robbed 11 times in Zone 1. There's something wrong with that picture, huh? Now, to us gringos and expats, we'd say, let's move. We wouldn't even give it a second thought. But I also know the Latin mentality. They're very, very big on family. Fact is, if they've got a family home that's been passed down through generations and they were born there, etc., they almost never end up moving out, no matter how bad or good the neighborhood changes over the years. In fact, I've spoken to a few Latins who say they have plenty of money to move out of the city, have a nice homestead out in the country, even the burbs, nice, quiet solitude, but they just need the hustle and bustle of the city. That includes the noise of the chicken buses and all the pollution, too. Sound familiar? Hope not. All right, just a few short announcements. Now, if you can't get boots on the ground just yet, remember, sign up for my Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com. By the way, if you're trying to work out your own details in whatever stage of your plan, we can arrange a one-on-one Skype or phone consult. A lot of people are doing that now. But first, go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my phone consult questionnaire. Give you a lot of good ideas while putting together your own plan B. And it's free. No obligation to set up a call, but I bet it makes you consider a few things you haven't thought about yet.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.